Hey, once again, welcome. If you're new here, if you haven't ever been here before, super, super thankful that you are here. If you're online, I know we have a lot of people who are checking us out online. Super grateful if you're on Zoom or if you're on Facebook Live. If I've never met you before, I've never connected with you, do me a favor, send me an email or leave a comment in the chat box or send me a message on Facebook and let me know if we can serve you in any way. We want to be a church that serves you and serves your needs and serves people. So please let me know if there's a way that we can serve you. If you have needs that need to be met, if you just need to talk to somebody, we want to connect with you. So by all means, please can reach out and connect with us. You can send me an email to info@redeemerhobbs.org. info@redeemerhobbs.org. You can tune in there, or you can send me an email there, and I'll be happy to connect back with you. So here we are, first Sunday of 2021. I finally had to actually sit down and write out the date the last couple of days, and it was weird switching over. It always is switching to a new day, but here we are, to a new year, 2021. So if you have a Bible and you would like to open it up to 1 Thessalonians, that's where we're going to be tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I kind of want us to set up for you kind of where we've been and where we're going the next few weeks. So right near the end of the year, last year, we walked through the book of Jonah, and we did verse by verse, line by line through the book of Jonah. And now here we are in 2021, and we're going to start something new for just a few weeks. We ended the year last year walking through Advent. We looked at why Jesus was born, at the anticipation that is building in us as we prepare and as we hope and get ready for the arrival of Jesus, both looking back to his first arrival and looking forward to his second arrival. We looked at that. And all of last year, really for the most part last year, we looked at the entire book of Colossians. And just so you know, kind of for the most part, the way that we do our Sundays is we walk through an entire book of the Bible, verse by verse, line by line. We don't skip around. We don't skip verses. We go through every single word, start to finish of a book. That's normally how we will do everything throughout the year. And in fact, after we finish this little mini series that I'm going to do for the next couple of weeks, we're going to jump into, I'll give you a preview. We either going to do 1 Peter or 1 John. That's going to be our next book that we go through. I'm not really sure yet. Pray for me as I prepare and as the Lord leads me to where he wants us to go. But that's where we're probably going to be. And like Colossians, that's probably going to carry us through most of the year, either 1 Peter or 1 John. But what I want us to do, since it's the first Sunday of a new year, since it's kind of the first of a lot of new people coming. We have a lot of new folks who've been here maybe just a few times, or some who were online. This may be your first time, or maybe you've checked us out for a couple of weeks. Some new people who kind of jumped in the middle of the year last year. We got a lot of new faces. And so what I want us to do at the beginning of this year and for the next couple of weeks is talk about what are the foundations for our church. My wife and I, some of you know this, my wife and I lived in Midland for 14 years. Before that, I was born and raised in Odessa. And we felt back in 2018 that God might be calling us to move to plant a church here. We were approached by some of our church in Midland, and they said, hey, would y'all like to move to Hobbs? And we said, no. And then they said, well, why don't you pray? So we started praying, and ultimately we landed here on May 27th, 28th, 2019. And began the work of starting Redeemer Church of Hobbs. And we didn't really know what that was going to be like. We didn't know what was going to happen. We certainly didn't know that 2020 was going to be the type of year that it was. We just moved here in obedience to God to start this church because we believed that he was leading us here. And so we gathered a group of people who said, hey, we believe in this church. We want this to be our church. And so we started meeting together and regularly and starting to kind of lay the foundation for our church and what our church is going to be built upon. We did that. And then we really kind of had almost no growth, which is kind of weird. Like the first year, COVID hits and we can't even meet together. So we had to move everything online. And then from June of this year, when we could start meeting together again until now, you may or may not know this, but between in-person and online, we've quadrupled in the number of people who participate with us regularly, which is pretty incredible that in a time when a lot of churches are declining in attendance And in everything says churches should be going down. Our church, because of God's grace and mercy, has increased. And we're quadruple where we were in average weekly participation compared to the first year that we were here, which is pretty incredible. So because there are so many new people, lots of new faces, I want us to spend the next 2 or 3 weeks talking about what are the foundations of our church, because we went through this at the very beginning when we were starting, but so many of you guys who are new that kind of just jumped in, you may not know, and I want you to know for sure the reason for which our church exists, why we are here, why did my family move from Midland to Hobbs and start this thing, and then why is it still going, and what's it going to be like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, what's going to be the foundation of our church? And so I think at the beginning of this year, and maybe even at the beginning of every year from here on out, we're going to take just a 2 or 3 week at the beginning of the year to say, okay, what are the foundations of this church? Because we believe that God is going to keep bringing new people and new faces to our church. And we want everyone to know this is why we exist. We want everyone to be on the same page with us as a church. And so you know that when I teach and when I preach and when we look at missions causes, when we look at what we do in this city, when we look at how we want our families to be, now, when we look at everything and every little detail about our church, what are the foundations upon which all that's going to be built as a church? So that's what we're going to do today and for the next couple of weeks. So to make it very simple, the foundation of our church right now and the foundation of our church when we moved here a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, is really not different. It's actually very much the same. And a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, the foundation of our church is going to be, I think, absolutely very much the same. I hope that doesn't sound boring to you, because the foundation upon which our church is built is going to be a solid and a firm foundation, because it is not me. It is not my words. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ and his word. So 1 Thessalonians is where we're going to be at today. If you have your Bible, 1 Thessalonians. It's chapter 1. We're going to read all of chapter 1 and all of chapter 2 in just a minute. But I want to give this to you. I don't know if you guys know this. When we moved here, we knew that we were moving to Hobbs. We knew this was going to be kind of a church rooted in Hobbs. But you may not know that on the average week, we have people who participate with us from 5 cities. We have people who participate in our church from 5 cities, 2 states, and one a different country. So I guess you could say 2 countries, right? Because we have Hobbs, we have Lovington, we have Eunice, we have Monument, and we have Seminole, Texas, and we have someone who participates with us from Nicaragua. So like every week, we have that many people in some way connected to what's happening here, which is really, really incredible. That's not anything that I could have ever done. The glory goes to God for that. And it is his church, and I'm just following his vision and his mission. So looking at his word, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I want to give you just a little bit of background real quick to what's happening in 1 Thessalonians. So you don't have to, but you can sometime. If you go back to Acts chapter 17, we see Paul, who's an apostle who wrote Colossians that we looked at before, who wrote Romans to Philemon in the New Testament. He was a church planter. Paul was he hated God. He hated the gospel of Jesus Christ, but then God saved him. And then God commissioned him basically as a church planter. And Paul went around preaching the gospel and planting churches and preaching the gospel and planting churches in many, many, many places. He started a ton of churches in his lifetime. I mean, I'm going to do good to plant one. And Paul planted like 20 or 30 in his lifetime. So he was an apostle of Jesus Christ and he was a church planter. So in Acts chapter 17, what we see is that Paul and Silas went to this city of Thessalonica. And when they got there, I want to read to you verses 1 through 3. And I want you to see what they did when they got to the city of Thessalonica. This is Acts 17, 1 through 3. This is not going to be on the screen, but I just want you to hear what happened. It says, now when they, that would be Paul and Silas, when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, some hard names to pronounce, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul went in, as was his custom, and on 3 Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. So Paul and Silas, get to Thessalonica. They go into a Jewish synagogue and they start trying to convince the people who are there, hey, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He's the long expected one, like we just talked about. And you need to turn to him and you need to believe in him. And so many of the Jews there in the synagogue did. And then it even says that some of the Greeks, and it says not a few, which would be many of the leading women, all turned from their ways and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was the message that Paul and Silas proclaimed when they went into Thessalonica. And so here's what I want you to see. This is very clear thing that they did here is they went into the synagogue and they proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people who were there in the synagogue. And people heard the gospel and they believed the gospel. That was what Paul and Silas did. And that's how Paul and Silas planted churches. How did they do it? Verse 2 and 3, it says in Acts 17, they reasoned with them. Check this out very, very clearly. How did they make these converts in Thessalonica back in Acts 17? They reasoned with him from the scriptures, explaining and proving that Jesus was the Messiah, that he had to suffer and that he had to die, and that he had to be raised from the dead for sinners. People believed, and that was the beginning of a church. Because Paul and Silas preached the gospel, the people believed, and a church was started. Then Paul and Silas left Thessalonica, and that church started and it got going. And then a little while later, Timothy goes, Paul sends Timothy to Thessalonica to say, hey, go check on those people there. Go check on that church, see how they're doing, and bring us back a report. So Timothy goes to Thessalonica. He hears how they're doing and checks up on them. He comes back to Paul and he says to Paul, hey, this is how the church is. This is what they're doing. And then Paul's response to that is, he sits down and writes a letter, and that would be 1 Thessalonians, which is going to be our text for today. So that's a little bit of background on how we get the letter of 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silas preached, people believed, they started a church, they left, and then now Paul is responding to Timothy's report of what's going on in the church in Thessalonica. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is a long passage of scripture, but I want you to listen, and I'm going to come back in case you don't get it. I'm going to come back and I'm going to point out some very, very specific things about how this church and what Paul feels towards them and how they responded and exactly kind of what was the foundation of this church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. If you're ready, say ready. Okay. It says, Paul, Silvanus, that would be Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned from God, to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. For though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we have boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came to you with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others. Though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are our witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless our conduct toward was toward you, believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it as not the words of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. That's a whole lot of text of the Bible, and I hope that's okay with you, because I have a whole lot of confidence in the text there. But I want you to listen, and you might have heard it, and if you didn't, I'm going to go back and point it out. Listen at every time Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and he's saying, this is what happened when we came to you. When we showed up in your city, this is what we did, and this is what happened. He talks about over and over the word or the gospel or the message. You see that? The word or the gospel or the message. In chapter 1, verse 5, he says, our gospel came to you. Chapter 1, verse 5, he says, in word our gospel came to you. Verse 6, it says, you received the word. Verse 8, it says, the word of the Lord, chapter 2, verse 2, that we declare to you the gospel of God. Chapter 2, verse 4, he says, we were approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, and so we speak it, that would be the gospel. Chapter 2, verse 8, we shared with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives, which would, the implication would be, we did share with you the gospel. Chapter 2, verse 9, we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. In chapter 2, verse 13, you received the word of God. And then he actually says it again in chapter 2, verse 13, talking about the word of God. Over and over, Paul is saying to these Thessalonian believers, when we came to you, we taught to you the word of God. We taught to you the gospel of God. We taught to you the message of the gospel. And he's saying, like, this is what we did. Like we taught it to you over and over. You can go back to Acts 17 that I read at the beginning, and you can see over and over, this is what they did. It says they did for at least three Sabbath days. They reasoned with the Jews in the synagogue, and many of them became believers. So if you look at Acts 17, if you look at Paul and Silas and what they did in Thessalonica, and then if you compare it all here, we see a clear theme that emerges. Paul says, we came to you, we delivered to you, we preached to you, we declared to you, we shared with you, we proclaimed to you, and you received what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, we told you with words, we explained from the scriptures, we were in the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us and him working in you, and we showed you with our lives what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is, as Paul says in Romans 1:16, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And if you look, we're in 1 Thessalonians, you have your Bible, if you look, like what is this gospel? Paul says, you know, again in Romans, it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If you look in 1 Thessalonians, you actually see kind of a concise statement here. Look at chapter 1, where we're at, verses 8 through 10. We just read it, but just be reminded. Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 8, it says, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. Listen, for they themselves, that would be people other places, they report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So Paul is writing, this is what happened. You were serving idols. You were serving false gods. We came to you. We delivered to you the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ saves us from the wrath to come. And that is the message that you received. And that is the foundation upon which your church in Thessalonica was built. Your church was built upon the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look with me in a couple of other places, because I want you to see, okay, that was the Thessalonian church. The Thessalonian church was built upon the foundation of the gospel. Do we see Paul talking in other places that other churches were built upon the foundation of the gospel. Do we see this in his other letters? Listen to this. Check this out. I'm going to walk through some of his and just show you what he said. This is to the churches of Galatia. He says in Galatians 1, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. So there is one gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of the grace of God shown through Jesus Christ. And that is the foundation upon which the church in Thessalonica was built. It's the foundation upon which the churches of Galatia were built. Now, listen to what he says, because Paul writes about it in a whole bunch of his letters. Listen, Romans chapter 1, Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. 2 Corinthians, he says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we proclaimed him among you. We proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. We are ambassadors for Christ. Be reconciled to God. So he's saying, we proclaim to you this gospel of God. In Ephesians, he says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Later in Ephesians, he says, in Jesus, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him. Philippians, Paul gives thanks to the Philippian or to God for the Philippian believers. And his thanks is for their partnership with him in the gospel. And then he says, and then he reminds them, you Philippian believers are partakers with me of grace in the defense and confirmation of the, what do you think the word might be? Gospel. Colossians, you have heard the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you and is bearing fruit and is increasing among you. We're in 1 Thessalonians and you've already seen it. What about 2 Thessalonians? We ought to always give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you to be the first fruits, chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit in belief and truth. To this he called you through our gospel so that you might obtain glory, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, well, what about to Timothy? Like all these were written to churches. What about to Timothy? Paul says in 2 Timothy, to Timothy, who's a pastor of a church, do not be ashamed about the testimony about our Lord, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And 2 Timothy also says to Timothy, preach the word. What is the word? The word is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Over and over and over throughout all of Paul's writings to individuals, to churches, to groups of churches, what they did over and over was he preached and he taught and they lived out that the foundation upon which all of those churches were to be built was the teaching and the proclaiming, the defense of, the living out of, and introducing new people to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason that my family moved to Hobbs a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, was because we knew that there were people in Hobbs and in Lovington and in Eunice and in Monument and in Seminole who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, or maybe they've heard a distorted version like Paul wrote about in Galatians. Maybe they heard a distorted version of the gospel of Jesus Christ and haven't seen it lived out and preached and proclaimed faithfully over and over. And so that is why we moved here in 2019. That's why we endured through the difficulty of 2021. That is why we're still here right now today. And the reason for which our church will be here in 5 years and 10 years and 50 years and 100 years if God doesn't come back, and we hope that he does before 50 or 100 years. But if he does not come back, the reason for which our church exists, the foundation upon which our church is built, is to teach and to preach and proclaim and to defend and to live out and to introduce new people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is found in the Bible. That's why when we gather on Sundays, we'll always open the Bible and I will show you what the Bible says. Like I could get up here and I could probably say other things that might be more exciting. I could probably decorate the building in ways that might just get you more energized and emotionally charged when you walk in, like, oh man, that looks awesome, or whatever. Like we could do a lot of stuff like that. But if I fail to open up the Bible and declare to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm failing for the purpose that I came here for. Like if I fail to present to you and everyone who's listening online, you're in person, every week the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I'm not fulfilling the purpose that my family moved here for. We moved here to proclaim and declare and live out the gospel of Jesus Christ and to encourage you to live it out, to proclaim it with your mouth, in your neighborhood, among your family, and your friends, and the people among which you work, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, when we gather on Sundays, when we gather here at 5 o'clock, when we have community group on Wednesday night, which if you've not participated in that with us and you would like to, talk to me and I can send you the link. Right now we're doing that on Zoom just to be safe, but when we gather on Sundays, I'm going to primarily spend almost every minute I have up here teaching you right out of the Bible, because in the Bible, we see the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wednesday nights, when we gather together for community group, what do? We open up the Bible and we look at basically what the sermon was about Sunday and how it teaches us more about God and his gospel and Jesus, and then how that applies to our life tomorrow and the next day, and how that helps me be a better mom, a better father, a better employee, a better neighbor, and how that helps me to represent this gospel of Jesus Christ to the city around us. When we look at missions efforts from our church, like when we think, okay, what are we going to support with our money as a church? What kind of causes? We look at missions and ministries and Christian causes to get behind, and we will check and make sure first and foremost that they are accurately and faithfully proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's good to build houses, it's good to feed people food, but unless their spiritual needs are being met, unless they're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that really doing anything for them long term? No, we want to partner with ministries and organizations and other churches who are faithfully proclaiming and teaching and living out the gospel of Jesus Christ. So at the beginning of this year, 2021, and at the middle of this year, and hopefully by the end of this year, our church will be focused on, will be centered around, will be built upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching and preaching and equipping you to live that out in your lives every day. We will never move beyond this. We will never grow out of this. Like this is, we're stuck here. like I got nothing else. If you're looking for something more exciting, maybe go somewhere else, because this is it. Like, I want to present to you, I want to preach to you and teach to you and help you live out the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there is no other hope for the human soul. There is no other hope upon which we can have hope for this life and hope for the next life other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, wrapping it up, if you're a Christian, I plead with you, and our church would plead with you, excuse me, if you're not a Christian, I would plead with you, and our church people would plead with you to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. Like, if you are not a believer, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. Be saved from sin. Be saved from the wrath of God against your sin, which Paul said in 1 Thessalonians verse 10 of chapter 1. He says, Jesus, who saves us from the wrath to come, the wrath of God against sin is coming one day. You can be saved from that wrath through faith in Jesus Christ, believing in him, believe in Jesus' sinless life, his sacrificial and atoning death, his resurrection from the dead, that all of that was done for you. So you are completely and utterly incapable of doing any of that. Jesus did it all, his life, his death, his resurrection. And when you have faith in him, you experience the fullness of the grace of God, forgiveness of sin. If you're not a Christian, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. If you are a Christian, and if you're not a part of our church, I would invite you to join us in the mission of reaching people with the gospel, of teaching and proclaiming and living out the gospel of Jesus Christ in our homes and in our cities. And if you are a Christian and you consider this to be your church, maybe it's time to have a reset in your life, or maybe a refocus for your living, a shift in your priorities, or renew your church involvement for the purpose of teaching and preaching and proclaiming and living out the gospel of Jesus Christ in our homes and in our cities. It's the reason for which our church exists. It's the foundation upon which our church is built, and we're never going to leave that foundation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word, Lord, for your word that you have preserved for us, that you've saved for us, you've kept perfect for us for thousands and thousands of years. Lord, thank you for this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you, Lord, entrusted to someone who proclaimed it to us, a pastor, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, told us, taught us, lived out your gospel, Lord. And you, by your great grace and the drawing of your Holy Spirit, helped us and caused us to believe. Lord, thank you for that gospel. Lord, thank you that it's the foundation upon which churches have been built, Lord, for 2,000 years. And Lord, that it's the foundation upon which this church is being built, Lord, and is going to be built and will continue to be built, Lord. As long as you grant us life, we will be built upon the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help me to be faithful to that as the pastor. Lord, help us to be faithful in holding each other accountable, Lord, to that, to the gospel, to living it out and to being corrected when we need to be corrected by it, Lord, and living as your people in the five cities and the two countries in which we live, Lord, people who live out and faithfully proclaim and love others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would be faithful to that word, that you would save people, Lord, that you would draw people into your fellowship, into your kingdom and your family. And Lord, that you would help us as, Lord, as we grow, that it would be because people are being saved by the gospel. People are being drawn to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to be faithful to that mission. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.